It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations and welcome to the game on News Talk 1400. You can also hear our show online at newstalk1400.net and podcasts available at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our News Talk 1400 studios in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this chilly Monday, June 27th, 2022. The game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Coming up on the game around 6:15, we will talk to Rudyard head varsity baseball coach Billy Mitchell, who will join us on the game to talk about a very successful Rudyard Bulldogs baseball season, making it all the way to the Final Four. 6:30, we'll talk to co-host of the game and host of the Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, David McKeag Jr., who will give us an update on all things going on in the North. Then around 6:45, we'll be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, as well as special guest, the voice of Sioux High Blue Devil Athletics, Dave Watson, will be joining us for the roundtable. But as always, we start with local sports and still wrapping up the spring sports season with awards, including in the Straits Area Conference. The all-conference baseball teams were recently selected by league coaches. Sioux High sophomore Ethan Chambers landed all Straits Area Conference first team honors, while Blue Devil sophomore Garrett Gorsuch, Avery Wilson and Michael Bontrager, and junior Matt Lumsden, along with Josh Lumsden, they were selected to the All-Straits Area Conference second team. Rudyard, they had three players on the All-Straits Area Conference first team, including senior Tate Besteman, senior E.J. Suggett, and sophomore Cam Peterson. Rudyard also had players on the second team, including Austin Warner, Brett Mayer, Eli Sprague, and Aiden Bickle. Newberry's freshman Matthew Rahilly makes the All-Straits Area Conference first team. And honorable mention goes to Sioux seniors Jack Bashan and Jonah DiNuccio McShane, and Brimley senior Jock LeBlanc III. Six Rudyard players were recognized on the recent Michigan High School Baseball Coaches Association All-State team. Senior Brett Mayer landed Division IV All-State first team honors, while senior E.J. Suggett at first base and Tate Besteman in the outfield and sophomore Cam Peterson in the infield were voted to the All-State second team, while senior Austin Warner at catcher and sophomore Aiden Bickle at the infield received honorable mentions. In Straits Area Conference softball honors, Sheboygan sophomore pitcher Libby Van Fleet was player of the year. For Sheboygan Sioux High, they had three All-Straits Area Conference players on the first team and three on the second team. The Sioux's first team picks included junior Hannah Maurer, Audrey Smith, and Paris Kagaris. Those landing on the second team for the Blue Devils, freshman pitcher Danica Bergeron and sophomore outfielder Gussie Smith, along with Lucy Husky. Pickford, who we heard from a couple of their players last week here on the game, they had three Straits Area Conference first team selections, including sophomore pitcher Finley Hudacek, senior Lucy Bennett, and sophomore Chloe May. Pickford sophomore Laura Bush, she was named to the second team, while senior Lizzie Story, she received honorable mention. And Rudyard junior Megan Postman was named to the Straits Area Conference all first team at catcher, while Bulldogs junior Eve Cheney and sophomore Megan Bradley were picked on the second team. And Rudyard junior catcher Megan Postman, she landed a Division IV All-State first team recognition for a second straight season. Postma led the Bulldogs in nearly every offensive category and supported a .676 batting average. Very well done. Three EUP players received honors, as Pickford sophomore Laura Bush at first base and senior Lizzie Story. They received honorable mention. And Pickford's head coach, Matt Hudacek, who was a guest of ours on the game, he was named Coach of the Year. Well, we had some football over the weekend in Sioux, Ontario. The Sioux Sabercats varsity football team falls to 0-3 as they dropped a 41-38 decision against Cornwall on Saturday afternoon at Superior Heights. The UP High School Football All-Star Game took place at the Superior Dome this past weekend in Marquette. And it was Team Black, who was down 28-21 at halftime. They stormed back to win rather convincingly, 54-28. This is the 15th annual UP Football All-Star Game Saturday. And it was a very high-scoring game, was the highest point total ever, and the second highest margin of victory. You had several players locally in that game. The individual awards went to Dryden Nelson of Calumet. He was the Black Team Offensive MVP. Black Team Defensive MVP, Marcus Bowes out of Westwood. Black Team's Jack Audette Character Award goes to Chase Bridgers. And for the Red Team, the offensive MVP was Aiden Bissell out of Menominee, and the defensive MVP was Trevor Lippins out of Bark River Harris. And the high school football season, believe it or not, less than 2 months away, as we are between seasons, but sooner rather than later, we will be back into action in high school sports. Moving on to the Ontario Hockey League, still one team playing, the Hamilton Bulldogs, who are in the Memorial Cup semifinal game tonight, as they will take on the Quebec champion Shawinigan in Monday night semifinal. That one played in St. John's. The winner will advance to the Memorial Cup final on Wednesday night to take on St. John's. The Ontario Hockey League has announced their 2022-23 regular season and the home openers for all 20 member teams. Looking at the Sioux Greyhounds, the Greyhounds will open up regular season play at the GFL Memorial Gardens on Friday, September 30th and Saturday, October 1st. Both games against North Bay. They'll also have a home match October 5th against Flint, and a very busy schedule indeed. 680 games overall in the Ontario Hockey League schedule. And once again this season, you can catch all Sioux Greyhounds hockey games home and away over on our sister station, Rock 101. The Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, they announced their 2022-23 regular season schedule last week. On-ice action in the 348-game slate will run from September 8th through March 19th, with each of the 12 NLJHL member clubs playing 58 games apiece. This will feature each team having 28 home contests as well as 28 on the road and two others during the league showcase, which will make its return in Sudbury on October 4th and 5th. And each of the league's dozen sides are slated to play on the same day twice early in the campaign. And those two six-game dates are Saturday, September 12th and Friday, September 16th. Looking at the local teams, the Sioux Thunderbirds will open up their regular season at home on Friday, September 9th against the Sioux Eagles. Sioux Eagles will also have a road game September 10th at Blind River. Sioux Thunderbirds will host Elliott Lake on September 10th. And then the Sioux Eagles home opener will be on Friday, September 16th at Polar Stadium, as they will take on Elliott Lake. And then on Saturday, September 17th, the Eagles will take on the French River Rapids. And again, we will have Sioux Eagles home games right here on your home for the Sioux Eagles News Talk 1400. The CCHA has announced their all-academic team and scholar-athlete award winners for the spring semester. 22 men's student athletes have been named, including Ethan Langenegger, the sophomore from Lake State in business administration and marketing, Mitch Oliver, fire science, Logan Genuine, he is in business marketing, Dustin Manns in business entrepreneurship, Miroslav Muka in business administration, Jakob Norquist in international business, Joshua Wildauer in political science, Arstrom Borshoff in international business, Louis Badon in kinesiology, and Seth Isley in finance and economics. And also you had a bunch of others named for the all-academic team, and many awards going on at Lake State. Right now, Lake State having many summer camps for hockey, basketball, and others, and pretty soon they will have the season beginning with volleyball in late August, and then the hockey season will begin in early October. And speaking of Laker hockey season, season tickets are now on sale for the 2022-23 season. There are several different ticket packets. You can get the early bird rate of $245 for the 22-game home schedule. You got to get that before July 25th because that's when prices increase. If you want more information, you can go to lssulakers.com. Single game tickets this season, $16 for adults, $12 for senior citizens, $8 for children, military, and EMS workers get in at $412. However, that price does increase for the premium game. You have Michigan coming into town this season. Tickets for that game, $22 for adults, $14 for children. And again, you can find all that information at lssulakers.com. We're going to take a break here on the game, but when we come back, we will talk to the head coach of the Rudyard Bulldogs baseball team, Billy Mitchell. Billy will join us to talk about the very successful season for the Rudyard Bulldogs, making it to another state semifinal, as well as last week at this time, him and EJ Suggett, one of the star players for Rudyard. They took part in an all-star game at Comerica Park. So we're going to talk to Billy about all that and more, all coming up on the game here on News Talk 1400.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on ours and more, go to SuTribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric. 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pinkator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
6:14 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. Joining us now, the head coach of the Rudyard Bulldogs baseball team, Billy Mitchell, joining us on the game. And Billy, appreciate you taking time out. I know your son's in the middle of baseball practice, but you stepped away for a few minutes to join us. Thanks for coming on the game, sir.
Hey, no problem. Anytime I can get on and get some good words for our kids out there, it's a good time to be on.
Well, there's certainly a lot of good words for your kids at Rudyard, Billy. You're one of your most successful seasons in school history, making it to another state semifinal, finishing the year 28-7-1. And Billy, let's kind of just walk through the season a little bit. Obviously, with the weather, it was tough to get on the field. And, you know, you did, and you had some early losses, but I think that's when you want to have those losses, when you're trying to figure things out, get outside. Were you concerned at all the way the season started, or were you pretty confident that this group was going to end up where they did?
I said all along that they were going to end up where they ended up. I mean, even from last year when we lost in the regional final to Glen Lake, I said right then and there that we'd make a good run this year and be back at Michigan State. But, you know, the season started out and it was a little rough. You know, we started out with going down to Charlevoix, and we lost two games there. And then we turned right back around and had Sheboygan, who everybody knows they had two really, really good pitchers this year. So yep. We actually started our season 0-4. And at one point, we were 6-6.
Right.
And then we went on a run. But it was all about just getting outside and spending time on the field. And I've never been around athletes that worked as hard as our group did. We had optional hitting practices 2 days a week at 6 a.m., and we always had at least 10 of our 15 guys there. And we lifted weights all the time. And just the little thing that would help us, we did. And the kids never complained one time.
You go on a big run at the end of the regular season and then go into districts and then host regionals and a quarterfinal in Rudyard, winning those at home. Certainly, it's something a lot of teams don't get to experience, especially in our area. And the fact that you won both games to get to the state semifinal, just kind of walk us through the districts and the regionals, you know, having the fan support, you know, fans in Rudyard always have supported that program very well. That just had to be real exciting for you and your team.
Yeah, the district started. It was a little different this year because our district was actually played down in Pelston.
Right.
We actually had Pelston and Mackinac City along with Pickford and Brimley in our district this year. So we ended up having to play the way the draw went. We played the pre-district game against Mackinac City, and they're a really well-coached team. Elijah May is coaching their team, and does a real good job with them. So we ended up playing them. And then we had to play Pelston after that. And the district championship game was just like last year, was against Pickford again and ended up beating them, which set the stage for a big regional semifinal game against Inland Lakes, which they have a couple of pretty good pitchers we knew coming into the game, and especially the Wallace kid that we knew they were going to throw. We just figured it was going to be a low scoring game. We're going to have to manufacture runs somehow because, you know, we knew that Brett Mayer was going to go in and throw a great game. And then EJ was going to come in behind him and throw well too. We ended up scratching that one out 3-0, which set the whole scene of the regional final and quarterfinal day here in Rudyard. And, I thought back to last year because our girls team had their quarterfinal game here in yep. Rudyard. And I just thought it was a very cool experience. So when I found out that we, were awarded that tournament, to be hosted here, I was excited because it was an opportunity to do what the girls did last year, where they were able to win that quarterfinal game to go to Michigan State. And just the atmosphere all day long was, I mean, there was a ton of people at the park, and just you look around and see people that you haven't seen in a long time, former players, former coaches there, just it seemed like the whole community was there. And to be able to win the first game against Glen Lake was big, to win the regional. But we weren't satisfied. You know, we've been telling the kids from day one, you know, we have to get used to playing two games in a day, winning the first game and winning the second game a doubleheader, because that's what's going to happen in districts and what will happen with the regional final quarterfinal. So we just, you know, stressed that to him. Yeah, we won a regional. We'll celebrate that after we win this quarterfinal. So we were able to play Joburg in the quarterfinal. And we were up. And then they made a little comeback and they were up. And then we knew where their pitcher was at as far as pitch count. We didn't think they had much pitching left. And that's what ended up happening. Our guys just did a good job of getting in counts where they knew fastballs were coming. And we just hit the ball over the place and ended up winning that game and dog pound right on our own home field, which was a very cool experience.
Billy Mitchell joining us on the game, head coach of the Rudyard Bulldog baseball team. And Billy, you ended up losing to the champion in Division Four in the semifinal, Riverview Gabriel Wishard, by the score of 10-3. Certainly, they were there for a reason, and they won the state title. Obviously, a tough ending to the season, but just overall, another very successful season in what's been one of the, if not the biggest and most successful baseball program here in the EUP.
Yeah, it was a good season. The only Division IV team that we lost to all season was the team that won the state championship.
Yeah.
So that says a lot about the program. It says a lot about the players that we have in our program, the coaches. Just to be able to say the only game you lost against the division that you play in is the team that won the state championship. And actually, we were right in that game, the semifinal game. We were only down 4-3 in the top of the seventh with two outs.
Right.
And they got some hits and some runners on, and things happened, and they scored some runs. But we were right there in that game.
Billy, let's talk about some of the players and coaches helping you out and obviously giving Rudyard a lot of success on the field. I mentioned the six players that were recognized by the Michigan High School Baseball Coaches Association: senior Brett Mayer, who was all first team, seniors E.J. Suggett, Tate Besteman, sophomore Cam Peterson. They were selected to the All-State second team, and senior Austin Warner and sophomore Aiden Bickle. They both received honorable mention. Now, you're a member of that association, Billy, I believe, but you can't vote on your own players. So to have so many of the other coaches recognize those players, talk about them and just some of the other players that have made this Bulldogs program and season so successful.
Yeah, it started, I think it was last November. They created, the Michigan High School Baseball Coach Association created an Upper Peninsula representative, and just because they wanted to, have representation from across the state. So Todd Zalka, who's the president, reached out to me and asked if I'd be on the board to represent the UP. And of course I said yes. So as a board member, I was allowed to be at the state meeting, but I wasn't allowed to vote. And there's four coaches. The four regional reps are the ones that take the all region teams and put together an all state team. And just to sit back and listen to the way they talked about our players, was a humbling experience. I mean, it just, I tell everybody that it's not just this year. That comes from years past with the tradition of our baseball program.
Yep.
I mean, when people think about UP baseball, they think about Rudyard. So part of that has to do with the success. But just to sit back and listen to them talk about, like, Cam Peterson as a sophomore, and Tate and EJ and Brett. I mean, it was just an amazing experience just to sit back as a coach. Very proud moment for me. Yeah, it was very cool to sit in that meeting.
And Billy, you and EJ Suggett last Monday night were down at Comerica Park for a Michigan High School Baseball All-Star game. You were one of the coaches, EJ, of course, playing. Tell us about that experience. That had to be a lot of fun for you and EJ, and certainly almost a humbling experience to be on the big field there in Detroit. It had to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We started out the day at Grosse Pointe Liggett for practice, and what an amazing complex that is. There's turf fields everywhere, so just to get to experience that, and then you take you right down into the visiting clubhouse at Comerica, and they kind of give you the ground rules about the do's and don'ts of what you can do and what you can't do on the field, and then you walk down the same tunnel as the visitors to get out to the clubhouse, and then we ended up being in the Tigers dugout, and of course, all the kids were running up and putting their batting helmets in the places, and they had name tags on them. And, just there's Miguel Cabrera's bat holder and his helmet holder. And it was very cool. And just to be able to share that experience with EJ means a lot. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to coach the game, and to be able to share it with one of my players, who I think very highly of, was awesome. I mean, we'll be able to tell stories for years to come about that time, just being there at Comerica and all that stuff. So.
And Billy, this group of guys, the juniors and seniors, and of course some of the underclassmen as well. I mean, you look at what they've done, not just on the baseball field, but basketball and football, all three sports making Final Fours. I don't know of many, if any, around this area and across most of the UP can say they've been to three Final Fours in three different sports. And a lot of these guys play all three sports. I don't know what's in the water down in Rudyard, Billy, but certainly you probably don't want to share that secret, because that it's this is a very good group of guys, not just on the field, but academically as well. You mentioned E.J. Suggan. I mean, valedictorian. He was in three different All-Star games in the past 2 weeks. So it's just an amazing group of athletes in Rudyard.
Yeah, I'll tell you the recipe of success. It's hard work.
Yep.
Those kids work so hard at whatever season it is. I mean, if it's football, they're 100% football. If it's basketball, they're 100% basketball. If it's baseball, they're 100% baseball. But then they carry that over into the classroom. And when it's time for school, they're 100% into school. And just if you look at our kids' grade points, I think 14 of our 15 kids have a 3.2 or 3.3 grade point average or higher. So not only are they getting it, and that's one thing I'm very proud of as a coach too, not only all the MHSAA trophies that they've won in basketball, football, and baseball, but all the academic stuff that they've won too,
right.
Just in All-State as a team academically, and EJ being All-State as an individual for his grades. So it's just hard work. I mean, they put in the work and they get what they deserve.
Billy Mitchell joining us on the game, head coach of the Rudyard Bulldog baseball team. A couple more questions, Billy, before we let you go. You mentioned the previous coaches, Ryan Van Sloten, really setting up this program. And you also had Jimmy Smith. They've also had, Jimmy Myers. Who are some of the folks that helped you out this season? I know there's always a big coaching staff with Rudyard baseball. Who are some of the guys that helped you out this season?
Oh, I couldn't have asked for a better staff this year. Jimmy Suggett was one of my assistants. It was just nice to be with him and the consistency that we have from football to basketball to baseball. I'm around them even during those seasons too. So they're hearing the same thing from both of us. And Brad Hall, another great assistant coach. He'll do whatever you need him to do. He's also our bus driver, which also helps. So
right.
And then Mark Sprague. He's our numbers guy, outfield guy. And then Jonas Sprague, too, was also helping. And that's another basketball coach that helped. So hearing the same thing from coaches all year round is a good thing.
Well, Billy, certainly a very good season for Rudyard baseball. Congratulations to you and your team on another successful season. And I'm sure our paths will cross between now and next season. Have a great summer. And thanks for joining us on the game, sir.
And no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we will be talking to David McKeag Jr. from the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. Welcome back to The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, joining us now and every week here on The Game, co-host of The Game on News Talk 1400 and host of The Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, David McKeag Jr. joining us on The Game. Kegger, it's the end of June. Not a bad day, albeit it feels like the beginning of April. How you doing today, sir?
Very, very good point, Scotty. It's a little breezy out. Good to see the sun, but still certainly doesn't feel like June, my friend. You got that right. I am doing great, Scotty. It's a Monday, as good as you can be on a Monday. This is what the best part of Monday is, you and I talking here on the Game Sports Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Dave. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And, well, the NHL hockey season ended last night in Tampa Bay as the Colorado Avalanche win their first Stanley Cup since 2001 as they knock off the Tampa Bay Lightning in six games, winning last night by the score of 2-1. Dave, just overall your thoughts on the Stanley Cup and this Colorado team. I mean, this is not just a flash in the pan or maybe a one-off, in my opinion, if you will, with the Colorado Avalanche. You and I have been talking a lot about this team over the last few years, and this was a season all the pieces came together, knocking out the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Your thoughts?
Scotty, you're right. We have talked about it the last couple of years, and the last couple of playoffs posed a lot of different challenges, right? They weren't able to make that leap. They couldn't compete with Vegas's toughness, or they were just unable to stay healthy, right? You had Michael Hutchinson a few years back that went into the net and did pretty good, mind you. Now, everyone knows if you're a Leaf fan who Michael Hutchinson is, he's the fifth goalie in Toronto's organization, apparently. So that says a lot that either you leave Toronto, you do good, or just that they had the team all along. It's just that they were unable to make that leap because of specific challenges. year was different, right? Even though the injury bug did hit them, they had two stable goaltenders in Kemper and Francouz, and they had challenges this year. Bowen Byram dealt with a lot of mental health issues, which he battled back. Now he's a Stanley Cup champion. Nazem Kadri, again, the injury bug did get in the way, but Colorado's movement this year put them that step over. They're able to bring Arturi Lehkonen in. They're able to bring in Josh Manson. Andrew Cogliano was a great veteran add to the Colorado Avalanche, as Gabriel Landeskog and Cale Makar, actually, sorry, was the one who was talking about it at the post-game comments on last night's after they were celebrating there. You know, they made the moves necessary to fit well with the team. They weren't the biggest, flashiest moves to the outside of maybe Kemper in the offseason when they brought him in for first, or Josh Manson, which I'm a huge fan of Josh Manson. He's really effective on that blue line. Lehkonen's the guy that you bring in just to fill in for the top six if there's injuries, and he's mostly a bottom six guy, but he's clutch. Look what he did for Montreal last year, and look what we did for Colorado this year. The guys that they brought in, they know what they were doing. And the guy at the helm to thank for that is the whole staff, but Joe Sakic, right? Burnaby Joe. He's the guy in 2001 that lifted that Stanley Cup, passed it off to Ray Bourque. One of my favorite sports moments in history. That is, and that's coming from a Toronto fan. Again, I'm going to remind listeners that that moment with Ray Bourque is, if you don't love sports, or if you don't love that moment, then you truly don't love sports, because of how great that made everybody feel. But back to the point of Colorado Avalanche of this year, of 2022, this team was different, and you could just tell. On our sports show, a sports talk show, the Top Shelf, myself and Dane Hantrow did talk about the Colorado Avalanche. Dane did predict Colorado to win the Cup. I predicted them to make it but lose to Toronto, of course. That didn't happen. But definitely a Stanley Cup final team was in their future, just at the beginning of the year. And that was before they made the trades that they did. When they made the moves to the deadline, like I said, they added the pieces necessary to put them over the top. And that depth is going to help you win those playoff series and win you the Stanley Cup. This team, Colorado, proved that offense can win championships. Yes, I read that article with multiple sports outlets, but the team did have strong defensive players in Byram. Yes, Makar was a stud Conn Smythe winner, 29 points in 20 games. But Manson, those guys, Bowen Byram was great defensively. Overall, this team was just all around well put together. Yes, offensively heavy to a certain degree because of someone named Nathan MacKinnon and someone else named Mikko Rantanen on the team. But ultimately, this was a team that was put together well by Joel Sakic and was just poised to win and destined to win. Everything they went through the past few years, the time was now for the Avalanche. And the scary thing is, this team's young, but a lot of people are forgetting, can they repeat? I do think so, but they are losing some pieces. They got to re-sign Kemper. Lehkonen's leaving. Josh Manson you'd have to re-sign. I forgot about Devon Toews that they added in the offseason as well, one of the best defensive players on that team this year. They have some cap that they're going to have to work around. Nathan MacKinnon's contract comes up in a few years, so with re-signing players now, you're going to have to work and plan for that. So ultimately, you know, there's going to be some salary cap implications they're going to have to look at, but I think Joel Sakic knows what he's doing, and I think this team is going to do more than just compete again next year. They have a strong chance to be a repeat, and it was great to see, right? And Nazem Kadri, I'm going to go to that point. I'm going to save the best point for last, in my opinion. Former Maple Leaf, everyone knows that I am a Nazem Kadri fan, despite what he did in the playoffs and his time in Toronto. This was somebody that was bound to be that type of playoff performer and get the job done, be effective in the playoffs. And this season, there was a point where he had more points than Connor McDavid. Okay, so this is a player that was for real this year, a great second-line center for the Colorado Avalanche. And his comments at the end of the game last game were, I guess this would be last night, when he posted it on, when he posted these comments on, through social media as well. It was posted all over the place to all the social media outlets and, media companies, that he said in the post game reaction live on the ice with Elliot Friedman and David Amber on the ice. He said that to those who, doubted me and literally, that doubted me for my playoff performances or said I was a liability in the playoffs was his actual quote. He said, if I am a liability in the playoffs, they can kiss my bleep. Okay. And let you fill in the blanks about what that bleep was. Hint, it was a 3-letter word. And yes, for those who thought he was a liability in the playoffs can certainly kiss the rear for sure, because that comment was so true. He proved all the doubters wrong. strong that he could perform in the big game. And we all know who that comment was towards, okay? I don't care what anybody says. I don't even care what Nazem Kadri said. Yes, there's a lot of media individuals that doubted him, but there was obviously one person who didn't believe in him in the playoffs, and that was Kyle Dubas. Yes, he had to make the move to make Tyson Berry and Kerfoot be. He had to trade a good player to bring in good players, but we all know trade was foolish because Barry was like bringing in an overrated or extra Jake Gardner. Okay. He wasn't the player to bring in that was going to change that team. It was a foolish trade from the beginning. I remember saying that on Hockey Editions prior, and Kadri goes in and says this comment. I don't think there's going to be any fine, or I don't think there's going to be any problem from it, because more so it's the truth. It's so great that he said that. Myself and my fiance, and we were watching that last night, we were celebrating when he said that, not because we have anything towards Dubas. Obviously, we're big Dubas lovers, especially here in the Sioux, but that comment is so true, and it can be used in so many ways. And for those out there who are being doubted for what they can do, Kadri's an example of how he can step up, and so are many other influences in the world. But that point is so true, and I think he did mean it towards Dubas more than anybody, Scott.
And like I told you off air, Dave, when you're hoisting the cup, you can say those comments and certainly can back them up. That is for sure. David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. And Dave, you took another road trip this past weekend stateside to Milwaukee to watch the Toronto Blue Jays take on the Milwaukee Brewers. You were fortunate enough to go to the winning game for Toronto on Friday night, beating Milwaukee 9-4. The Jays would lose the next two as they start a big home series against Boston tonight. Boston, Toronto, and the Tampa Bay Rays all within a game of each other, all chasing the Yankees, but all in the wild card. So, Dave, we'll finish up with your thoughts on the weekend series in Milwaukee, the Jays in general, and just the overall experience in Beer Town, USA.
Honestly, my first time in Milwaukee, Scotty, and my parents said, what do you mean, Dave, you were in Milwaukee? Oh yeah, when I was 6 months old. Okay, listen, I'm not gonna remember that, nor was I gonna be able to enjoy what Milwaukee has to offer, which is a lot. But beer, you got that right. Music, the summer festival was great on Saturday. Got to see Steve Miller Band up front personal. Also, Nogra Ezra, she's a foreign singer. Fantastic. She's amazing. There was multiple other bands, too, that I'm not just going to sit here and list. Zach Bryan, I will say, I guess there's one that's really well-known in the States. I haven't really heard of him. Till then, the festival was great. I want to say that first. Anyone who's going to Milwaukee for the summer festival, make sure you check that out because it is absolutely amazing. So fun. Myself, my fiance, and also friends, if I can, that love to plan to go back. It's a great city to be part of. And the breweries, yeah, you can't go wrong. There's beer there from all ends, okay? So it's definitely, if you're a beer drinker and you like music and you like being a part of a fun scene, Milwaukee's the way to go. I thank Milwaukee for this weekend. But you were talking Blue Jays right now. And yes, fortunately, I went to the first game, the game that they ended up winning, which was certainly a great game offensively for the Jays. Little scare in the ninth, you know, they like making it closer and loading the bases with two outs, typical Toronto style for all sports teams, it seems. But they ended up pulling away with the win, and it was big. Kirk had a monster of a night, going 4-for-4 at the plate. And a funny story I have about Kirk very quickly is we were sitting in front of very lovely gentlemen, about a handful of people that came as a group, and I got to know them there. They're from the Wisconsin area, and they mentioned one guy turned around to me and said, if Kirk hits a home run this at bat, I will buy a round for everybody here. Because I was saying how I was saying how Alejandro Kirk, he doesn't make sense for being as good as a ball player that he does. Sorry, I'm going to flat out say it, but you know what? He's making it work this year. He's fire. And the guy that that turned around, I believe his name was Jeff, remember correctly, turned around and said that, Dave, you know what? If he hits a home run, because I believe you, in terms, or I see how he is as a player, if he hits a home run, I'm buy a round for everyone. Next pitch, gone. Right to left field. The guy got up, put his arms up, and said, what are you drinking? And he went through with the bet, and I loved it. It was great to see offensively. The atmosphere is great. They were wearing their Brew City jerseys. It was just great to see the atmosphere inside American Family Park was fantastic. And my seats were great, obviously. I got luck. I like to make sure I don't cheap out on seats when I go see a special event at a new park. So the atmosphere in Milwaukee is great. One thing I will say – about Milwaukee is that it's too fun. It's dangerous. You're going to spend a lot of money there. So I'm glad I didn't go to the Saturday-Sunday game. It wasn't enjoyable, it seems like, for Blue Jay fans. Jose Berríos has to get his act together. He's so inconsistent this year, and that's really concerning for the Jays. The offense is very inconsistent. They're still in a playoff spot as of now, if I believe. I know, that, like you said, the Sox and Rays are within distance. Everyone's within a half a game in a game. Big week against the Red Sox this week for the Jays, but those games against Milwaukee, very tough team, but they've been really hot and cold the last few weeks. They've had some spurts and then they didn't. They really need to find a way to get the bats going and also just to stay healthy. Springer was out this, I believe he missed all the games this weekend, if I remember correctly. I know he wasn't there on Friday. But there's some injury troubles for the team is my whole point. Everyone's got to stay healthy. Ryu's gone for the year. The bullpen's a little bit concerning for me as well. Simber's had some times where he's been inconsistent. So there's got to be some pieces that need to be looked at if you want to make that extra step in that advancement forward, because the Yankees are looking unstoppable right now, Scotty. And one thing I got to say about baseball, and this goes back to the White Sox series, the robotic umpire, Scotty. I think this might be something that we have to talk about maybe when we have more time. Even when I was at the ballpark in Milwaukee, the umpiring was great. But there has been a lot of controversy this year, more so than any other year with the umpiring. You're an umpire yourself, Scotty. You know that it's very tough to call those in real time. I'm for having human umpires, but to see this consistency being completely inaccurate, especially in the previous series against the White Sox, was extremely challenging from being a viewer. And it's definitely, I can imagine how upset players would be during that. It just changes the whole approach of an at-bat. And quickly with Milwaukee as well, if you're ever going to see a game in Milwaukee, I advise you to go see the Brewers. They got a very good team in there in Milwaukee. And even locally, Scotty, the T-Gem Pandas are now 5-0 after a big couple wins back-to-back. The T-Gem Pandas in men's baseball here in Sault Ste. Marie, undefeated. Looking good there all around. So can't complain about this weekend, Scotty. It's was a time in Milwaukee, came home in time for some baseball locally, won that game. Now getting into this work week for a big week against the Red Sox for the Jays. It's great sports news all around currently.
David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. Dave, real quick, what's upcoming for the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario?
We will have a top shelf edition this week for sure. Time and date to be determined. We also have other shows to figure out in terms of pre-recording for special edition shows. But you can check our recent special edition upload with Justin Pogge. It was a great interview on YouTube or on stream. Everyone still seems to like the stream option, but I encourage you to check out the YouTube side. But for this week, we currently only have the top shelf edition in queue, likely to be on Wednesday going into the long weekend. We'll get into all the news and even from the Stanley Cup Finals, also going into the off season, little preview for that as we continue forward with our top shelf episodes. Few episodes left of top shelf before we take the rest of the summer off, so make sure you get in touch with all those episodes while we still have them up,
and you can find them all at thegamesportsshow.com. David McKay Jr. joining us on the game, and speaking of long weekend, Dave, happy Canada Day to you, and happy 4th of July to me, and we will not be having a show next Monday night, so we will talk to you on Monday, July 11th for our next edition of the game. Enjoy your long weekend, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks, sir.
Sounds good, Scotty. Happy Canada Day to all the Canadian listeners, and happy 4th of July to all the American listeners.
We're going to take a break here on the game. We come back, we will be joined by co-host Butch Davis and special guest Dave Watson for the roundtable, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportsshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
6:48 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. And joining us now, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports from last night, which you can find on Butch's website. Just go to simplybutch2. That's too.podomatic.com. You can also find Butch on Sports on Facebook as well as our podcast site, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, as Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on, not only in the Metro Detroit sports region, but sports all around the country and around the world. Butch, it's chilly and cold up here. How you doing down there, sir?
Toasty.
Toasty indeed.
Toasty, and firework night is tonight here in the city of Detroit, so everybody's rushing downtown before 6. Oh, 6 o'clock is after that. That means all the expressways and stuff are closed. So you boys and girls who are listening to this show, good luck on finding a parking space.
Yeah, indeed. And joining us in studio, special guest on the round table tonight, you know him as the voice of Suhai Blue Devil Athletics on 1230 WSOO, Dave Watson, joining us once again on the game. Prof, always great to talk sports with you, and thanks for joining us again on the game.
Thanks for the invite. Always great to be on here with you and Butch.
Lots to talk about, gentlemen, and let's start with the Detroit Tigers. And Butch, I'll go to you first. After getting swept in 3 games by the Boston Red Sox, the Tigers took 2 of 3 games in Arizona over the weekend. The bats heating up a bit more as the Tigers won 5-1 on Friday, 6-3 on Saturday before the bullpen kind of blew a game yesterday, falling 11-7. The Tigers now 28-44, 12 games behind first place Minnesota in the AL Central. Tigers are off tonight. They will start a 2-game series in San Francisco tomorrow before returning home for a weekend set against Kansas City. Butch, you know, the Tigers scoring a few more runs, but, you know, they keep having these 2-4 weeks. It makes it kind of tough to climb the standings. Your thoughts on the Tigers?
Oh, boy. Such an easy question.
It is.
Right now, looking at the record, the way it is, and the general manager speaking that they will be a playoff team, I don't want to call him a storyteller. Okay, I'm trying to be very nice about this situation. But right now, the Tigers, again, and I repeat it, and I'm quite sure, I'm sorry for you, Sault Ste. Marie, and everybody else around the world, the Tigers got to put their best players on the field, and they're not doing it on a consistent basis every single game there. They're making humongous coaching errors, such as yesterday when Bo Brisky got in trouble, and instead of pulling the guy here, you allow the guy to get 5 runs in the game. I don't know what manager allow, you know, people to go in the hole or in the pit, whatever you want to call it, but again, that is a problem. I think it's very simple. Hopefully, during the All-Star break, and congratulations also to Willie Horton, who's
yes.
going to the All-Star game. Don't know what players are yet, but Willie Horton is going to the All-Star game as an official coach for the American League. Congratulations to him. But saying this in a nice, simple way, the Tigers got to start getting themselves together there. And there's some humongous coaching errors as I'm watching the game there. And that got to get cleaned up before they talk about going ahead in the season and getting better.
And Dave, you know, we haven't had you on for a while to talk about the Tigers. Expectations going into the season, 28-44 in the last week of June, I don't think were a lot of people's expectations. From what you've seen and from what Butch has said, follow up on that as far as this year's Tigers. Obviously, hitting has been the major issue along with injuries, but your thoughts on the Tigers so far?
Well, going into the year, and I think we might have used this term, you know, when I was on before, I think all of us were cautiously optimistic with them. And I kept on in the back of my mind, my concern was, you know, starting going back last year, I was pumped up about the Pistons season last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, man, they're going to, because the
I
year.
Wasn't.
Well, of course you were, Butch, but you bring a little more realism to the table, perhaps. But, you know, I was really, you know, I was a little more positive about, well, they had a decent year before. I thought, well, the Pistons could make a move. But then, when they were as bad as they were. And then I was like, boy, computing that to not to compare the Tigers to them. But, you know, I was a little worried because I wasn't that wild about some of the free agent signings, like Javi Baez. I'm like, is he kind of going to the back end of his career, or has he had his best years already? I've never really been wild about Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, I just thought that, you know, up and down, and, you know, hopefully his personal situations he can figure out, but he struggled right off the hop. You mentioned all the injuries, but, and Butch said it, you know, you're not putting your best players out there. lately, I think it's been a little more positive having Riley Green there. That's a, it gives you a little more confidence, but in it's, they just can't score runs to save their life. And then yesterday they score runs and then the bullpen struggles, and Butch said it best, there was some decision-making that was definitely questionable yesterday, but it's been certainly a disappointment, but one that really wasn't all surprising. And I guess when you look at, you know, what we've been dealing with the Detroit sports teams as a whole.
Yeah, Butch, you know, going back to A.J. Hinch, or going to A.J. Hinch over the weekend, he was asked for the first time publicly about his contract with the Detroit Tigers. There was a report apparently on him by Ken Rosenthal talking about, you know, who pretty much picked apart the organization's failures under general manager Al Avila and revealed some of the details of Hinch's contract. Some of that has been pretty quiet. Hinch denied that and says that he doesn't know why there'd be an issue. I'm here for the long term. AJ Hinch, you know, it's in his second year and you can't put a lot of blame on him, or could you, Butch?
Well, I trust Mr. Rosenthal here. I see him 80% of the time. I'm in the ballpark there in the press box. Rosenthal, if you don't know, he does live in Michigan, okay? He lives in Ann Arbor. And a lot of his dealings in the in Major League Baseball, he'd do it right in Detroit. And some of the things he said, and which I have said that before, and we'll say it again, some of the media people didn't grasp onto it because they should have said these things a long time ago. Rosenthal just came out and said it there. The contract right now, there's no manager's going to talk about contract right now, and he knows that. But the bottom line is that is he going to be retained for next year? I think that's the big question. And I think this season will, you know, will tell itself if the Tigers buy his contract out and get somebody else here right now who basically is good with young players as well as dealing with the older players, which right now that's really the big problem with the Detroit Tigers. The older players or the experienced players that they went out there and coughed up a lot of money for is not putting out on a consistent basis. Now, we've seen Baez lately here get off the stones there, and that's because there's a Cody Clemens there who basically can play shortstop, and if you give him the time and the space, he will get better versus Baez right now. If he was that doggone good, he'd still be in Chicago, okay? And so I go along with Mr. Watson on that particular phrase there. So everything is not peaches and cream with the Detroit Tigers right now. I see the Detroit Tigers have to do some things at All-Star break to make this doggone team palatable, because they're losing a hell of a lot of money at the gates, okay? Where you see places like Chicago, and we're talking about Chicago Cubs, who really not winning nothing at all.
Right.
Over a million people this year. And Detroit, if they want to get in the line stop of these particular teams that bring fans to the park, they're going to step it up a notch.
And Dave, real quick before we go to our top of the hour break, you know, if things continue to trend in this direction for the Tigers, not just AJ Hinch, but, you know, you have to start looking at general manager Al Avila, who is in charge of getting a lot of these players here and some of these contracts. If things go as they are going, is Avila's future in doubt?
Well, you know, you look at some of the social media memes and different things. Fans want him gone, and now I am hearing more about Avila than your Hinch. And
right.
And you know, you look at it in, you know, I use a comparison at the Pistons. You know, you look at the fact of, okay, you know, why are these teams struggling? And you look at lack of consistency, and it starts in the front office on down. And, you know, with the Tigers, I mean, yeah, Avila just has not made the right moves, some bad decision-making. And I would have to think he's the one on the hot seat more than Hinch, you know, at this point, you know, and then, but then as you pointed out that, you know, whoever comes in, you know, would evaluate it, want to bring their own people in. But I think that's where it's at, is Avila's got to be on the hot seat. There's just no doubt about it. And Butch has pointed out, when you have a guy like Ken Rosenthal calling him out, a very well respected baseball guy, and you know, you got him and JP Morosi, who is from Michigan and was up in Marquette and Midland and been all around, and they know very well about the Tigers, and you know, and they also are a little sensitive about it because they're in the area. When you got a guy like Ken Rosenthal coming out and calling out Alavila, that says something.
Jim, we're going to take our top of the hour break. We come back, we will continue our talk on Major League Baseball and the Roundtable, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pinkator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
Welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis, and our special guest, the voice of Sioux High Blue Devil Athletics, Dave Watson. Gentlemen, we were talking about the Detroit Tigers. Let's move on to Major League Baseball. And before we look at the standings and talk about some of the teams, that was a wild one yesterday in Anaheim, California. The Seattle Mariners and Los Angeles Angels, they engaged in a lengthy full team brawl in the second inning after 2 days of tensions boiled over. Six players and both managers were ejected, which was stopped and started twice. The fight itself, you had players flipping off the crowd. You had sunflower seeds and buckets of gum thrown on the field. Haven't really seen a brawl like that, at least in some time. Butch, I don't know if you saw that fight. Your thoughts?
I saw every bit of it. It was a joke. Damn joke. I think a couple of people got in the way, and I think Winkler there, you know, he got his just due to walking through that damn dugout. Why would you walk to somebody else's house and knock on the door to get your rear end kicked in?
Doesn't make much sense, does it?
And they got Santana now, so all that will stop, okay? You know, if you didn't hear about it today here, Carlos Santana from the Royals is going to the Mariners now.
No, so there you go.
Finally get a leader on the team, so basically that don't happen anymore because they all look like fools here. When the Angel guy, he's throwing a box of pumpkin seeds. Bubble gum in there. Some kid in the damn stands could have been eating that crap here. And just don't throw it out there. And guess what? What you did see, or you may see, and it is that they made every single one of those players go out there and pick all that crap up.
Wow.
You see a groundskeeper out there doing a damn thing. I mean, the little bitty seeds that come out the bag, they were picking them up piece by piece. The players, okay? Of the Angels. So, they're not going to be no heavy suspensions out of it. You know that's not going to happen. But the basic damn thing of the whole doggone deal, it was totally unnecessary here. But again, I will say this. When you play somebody 8 times in a matter of 10 days, you know, things will get kind of itchy. They still got 11 more games to go here. So, I don't know. What can you say about the whole situation? Well, I was not impressed.
It was fun for me, Dave, watching. Of course, a lot of times when I'm watching baseball, I'm watching the umpires. And, boy, they were right in the middle of that thing. When you got 4 against 55 or 60, whatever the math is, makes it kind of tough. Your thoughts on the brawl in Anaheim?
Well, you know, I thought I was watching a WWE event the way it was going there for a while, and no disrespect to the WWE, but you know, I had to laugh because my favorite part, and Butch pointed it out, because that thing, there was like I think 4 different times,
yeah,
4 different heated moments, and it would die down. And then it would pick up again. And, you know, I really don't think those poor umpires, there's nothing. They tried to sort things out. They're standing there, all 4 of them. They're talking. And all of a sudden they look behind them and there they go again. And it just went on 4 times. And my favorite part was, and Butch brought it up, is the clown that come out with a bucket of sunflower. When he threw that, I laughed and I watched it over and over and over again. It was hilarious. But then the best part was that ignited the Mariners again. And that Winkler, who Butch pointed out, he's the one that got hit in the hip, and he's the one that knocked on the dugout door, which Butch is right. A wrong move, dude. You know, it's 1 on, you know, 30 of them. But, you know, he wanted to come back out, and Scott Service, the Mariners manager, get your bleep, bleep, bleep. And the guy that was right next to Winkler, if you notice, I think was Justin Upton.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want any part of Justin Upton. Nope. He's cut, and he's ready to go. And Winkler, if you notice, and that after the seats came out, he had the bat in his hand. He was coming out with the bat.
Never a good thing.
He let go of it. Now that's there. That would really bring a hefty suspension if he brought it over to him, because now you're bringing a weapon to the party. But you know, Butch is right. It was a joke, but entertaining for me. And I probably will replay the sunflower seed thing, because that was just hilarious. And that was right up there with the New Jersey Devils coach years and years ago taking the bench and throwing it out on the ice at the Joe Louis Arena.
Was that
the part when they all had to pick it up?
That is classic. That they made them go out there like little leaguers.
Pick all of it up. One groundskeeper was on the field to help them do crap there. There were about 4 players, Angel players, out there picking it up, man.
Good stuff, gentlemen. Let's look around Major League Baseball at the standings. The Yankees cooled off a bit as they were no-hit by Houston over the weekend. Still in first place in the AL East, 11 games over now Boston, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. 12.5 back. All 3 of those teams are wild card teams as of now. Minnesota still leads the AL Central, 2 games over Cleveland, 5.5 over the Chicago White Sox. Houston still with the big lead in the AL West, 10.5 over the Texas Rangers, 11.5 over the LA Angels. In the National League in the East, the Mets with a 5-game lead over Atlanta, Phillies 8 games back, Milwaukee and St. Louis still in a very good race. The Brewers, after winning 2 out of 3 at home against Toronto, lead the Cardinals by 1 game. And in the NL West, the Dodgers continue to lead 2 games over San Diego, 6.5 over the San Francisco Giants. So, Butch, we'll go to you first as far as just overall Major League Baseball as we're approaching the 4th of July weekend. What are some of your thoughts?
The Yankees is the best team of all of baseball. That's the only thing I can say. The rest of it is full of crap. The Central Division is very intriguing indeed there, because anybody can win in that there. The West, on the other hand here, Houston got that made with Texas and spread that out. In the National League, it's I look at the East. The East is going to be very interesting throughout the year. Also, the Central with St. Louis and Milwaukee beating each other's brains out. But the National League West is what I'll be looking at there. And not only that particular team, the first 3 teams, but Arizona indeed, because I think they're a better team than what people give them credit for there. And that's going to be a slobber knocker throughout the rest of the year there.
Dave, Major League Baseball overall, some of your thoughts as far as the races and just teams you're watching or things you're interested in?
Well, I agree with Butch. You know, it's all about the Yankees, and they can struggle all they want. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat the Bronx Bombers. I like you know, I'm not really convinced on Minnesota, and I never have been. I mean, you know, over the years, it's like they go on a streak, and then I think Cleveland's the team to look out for there in that division. And, you know, of course, you got Houston in the West, but it's all it is just a formality, because I think it's all about the Yankees. There's no question. And then you look at the National League, the East is a crapshoot. You know, Philly fires Girardi, and then they get hot. Yep. And then you got the Braves right there. The Mets have been the team to look out for. And I think that's going to continue to be a battle between those three to four teams there. And then the Brewers, they started off hot. Then they had a terrible June, and they're in a dogfight with St. Louis. And, you know, you never know. Another team could come up. It's funny, after the All-Star break, all of a sudden a team will come shooting out of the cannon. But I think it's going to be Milwaukee and St. Louis in the Central. And then the West, you know, I know San Diego's made some good strides, and the Giants are always an interesting team, but boy, it's just hard to beat the Dodgers, because the Dodgers still have a really solid squad. I think they're the team to beat in the West. But no, I agree with Butch. It's, you know, it's like, it's all about the Yankees, you know, and I think the only way they get beat, unless things change, is if they beat themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they did get slowed up a bit this weekend, getting no hit by Houston, but you just look at that lineup. I mean, unless their bats really go cold and something else happens, they should win the American League. But again, we've said that in past years, and it doesn't always work.
About the Dodgers is there, they got a lot of young players coming out the minor leagues right now, keeping them front and steady. Dodgers got a whole heck of a lot of injuries there, and their rookies and their people coming up from the minor leagues is holding them in very, very good there. One pitcher got is 9-0 here for the Dodgers. He's really, I think, Gibbons or something of that nature there. But it's going to be tough here, you know. San Diego, Atlanta, and also St. Louis there. San Francisco's not going to be denied, and Philadelphia is not going to be denied either. So this is going to be a good race. I think the best race is going to be in the National League, other than the Central Division in the American League there. We're going to see each other who beats each other out the bag there.
One other thought on Major League Baseball, guys. NBC and Peacock announced that the July 3rd game featuring the Tigers and Kansas City, which will be on Peacock, they will not have any announcers in the booth for its streaming coverage at Comerica Park. Instead, reporters will take fans around the ballpark and view the game from different vantage points. According to NBC and Sam Flood, the whole idea of this is treating a game completely different. We're going to take you out to the ballpark. We just want it to be the ultimate fans experience and spend it like anyone else. It's an American holiday celebration weekend. We're going to lean in and treat baseball like fans do. Butch, my question is, Kansas City, Detroit, they're probably going to have a lot of places and seats to probably go, because it's probably going to be half full at best.
They don't start winning, it will be gunning. I'll tell you that right now here, because a lot of people got many things to do rather than go to Comerica Park, which, by the way, COVID there right now is in session, where many people are taking time to get in their cars, regardless of the gas prices there, and go visit their families and friends and get together where they haven't seen each other for two, three years here. If the Tigers are not winning, that place would be gutted. And the idea of NBC doing it in the first place at Comerica Park, it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. Okay, you know, I'm so sorry, but that's a failure. If they did it at Yankee Stadium, I can dig it. Or they did it at some park like Dodger Stadium, or a park that really fills in the fans, Milwaukee or maybe Houston or something, I can dig it. But not right now at Comerica Park. That's just a black eye in Peacock's face here. I mean, that bird's going to lose some feathers on that.
And that was my thought, Butch. And Dave, I'll go to you. I mean, why Kansas City, Detroit in Detroit, or even in Kansas City? Wouldn't it make more sense? Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, Shez Ravine, you know, any of the older stadiums, or even some of the real nice new stadiums. I just, you know, Comerica, it's never had that connection with me going there. It's a nice park. It's a good place to watch a ball game. It's not Tiger Stadium. It will never be Tiger Stadium. I just think if they were going to do it somewhere, try it where there's a little bit of tradition and maybe
the fans are.
And where the fans are.
And Butch is right. Do it where, you know, they have the seats full. And Yankee Stadium, Fenway, like you said, I was at Dodger Stadium back in end of April, guys, and I went and saw the Tigers and the Dodgers there because my wife and I always go to a different road series, and this year it was L.A., and I'll tell you what, that is cool, that place. It was we went to the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all three of the games, and the Saturday game was like a playoff atmosphere because that was the game Clayton Kershaw broke the strikeout
right.
record.
Yep.
And that place was electric, and it was loud. And go to a place like that if you're going to do something like this. But in number one, even to put that game on the air on a national broadcast, why? I mean, you got two teams at the bottom of the division. I mean, I know you're going to play second fiddle on Sundays to ESPN and Sunday Night Baseball. The other thing is, I'm a traditionalist, and me being a play-by-play guy,
yeah,
I don't like this idea at all. I like a play-by-play guy, and I'm not really happy with Major League Baseball and some of what they're doing is with Apple Plus TV, and I have Peacock. I do have that app, but if you don't have the app or pay whatever, you don't get to see the game, and I know things are evolving and we're going to streaming. I don't like it to begin with. I really, because it's like you got to pay extra to see a regular season game. But to put this game on, even to begin with, and to do something like this, Butch is right. It don't make a lick of sense.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will move to the National Basketball Association and talk about the Detroit Pistons, moves, draft picks, and a whole lot more. All coming up on the Twin Cities' only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Done being stuck in the house? Ready for some summer fun on the water? Stop by Central Savings Bank for that boat or jet ski loan. Don't want to be on the water? That's okay. Come see a lender about a camper or maybe a home equity for that cabin in the woods or a side-by-side or ATV. Remember, you can always apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Ask what we can do for you.
Whatever you're up to this summer, Central Savings Bank has the loan products to help get it done. Whether it's buying a boat, side-by-side, camper or cabin, tractor, a new house, or a ticket out of here, we can help. Call, stop by, or apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
M&C Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? M&C Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. M&C Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at M&C Water Systems today at 906-647-7307, serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
Reed Metals and Tafter, your honest main source recycling business, hopes everyone is staying safe. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals also buys copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals. Reed Metals wants to pay you for your scrap metals and scrap vehicles. Reed Metals also offers roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get back to the Twin Cities' only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:17 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined on the roundtable by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis, and by our special guest, the voice of the Sioux High Blue Devil Athletics Program, Dave Watson. Just a programming note, as I mentioned earlier, next week we will be off due to the 4th of July, so our next edition of the game here on News Talk 1400 will be on Monday, July 11th. Gentlemen, it was a busy week for the Detroit Pistons before the draft. The Pistons dealt Jeremy Grant to the Portland Trail Blazers for a protected 2025 first round pick and a draft assets. And that pick ended up going into the draft, and the Pistons had some picks in the 2022 NBA draft as they drafted Jaden Ivey fifth overall out of Purdue and then swung a trade, getting rid of that pick to acquire number 13 pick Jalen Duren out of Memphis. The Pistons also picked in the second round Gabriel Procida. They also acquired the rights to Kemba Walker from the New York Knicks. Whether they can't keep him or not, that is still in doubt. But Butch, you talked about the Pistons and the draft on your show last night. Give our listeners your thoughts as far as what the Pistons did.
I think it was a pretty doggone good draft. If, you know, you got two players who want to be here. That's very, very much important. I think the question being, do you have a coaching staff and players on the team at this present that can mix and match each other, where they complement each other very well and play some, you know, all-around basketball without making themselves look like a bunch of idiots here? The team is going to be young, per se. If they're going to go out, which they got a whole heck of a lot of money that they can spend to get a veteran and whatnot there, you're only hoping to get a veteran that makes any sense. And the only veteran right now that would maybe much so make any sense to me will be Aiden, okay, from Arizona, which, by the way, he's a restricted free agent. So whatever the Pistons put up there, the Phoenix Suns can match him, and he'll stay right there. So it's a win-win for him. But again, his desires right now, from where I've been speaking to people in Arizona, is that he would love to get out of Phoenix and be somewhere in the urban particular situation like Detroit, where, again, he knows the particular players that he'll be playing with and can be somewhat a leader there, not somewhat a follower.
And, Dave, you know, again, after a draft, you always try to analyze it, and things look good on paper. Obviously, the Pistons needed help in the guard department, and Jaden Ivey obviously fills that need alongside Cade Cunningham. Makes a pretty exciting and youthful backcourt, and getting Duren underneath. I mean, that's something this team has lacked. But again, everything looks good on paper, and we've said it for a few years. These are the two picks the Pistons were kind of targeting in on, according to several reports. Your thoughts on the Pistons draft?
Well, you know, it's easy to say you win the draft. Right. Right? How many times it's said about the Lions sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, I like the picks. I like the Ivy pick. I didn't think they were going to get him. I kept on hearing he's going before five. And, you know, there was talk Sacramento might move that pick. And I think what helped the Pistons get him is even at the start of it when Banchero went, and then the pieces started moving around on the chessboard. But I really like that pick. I think he just seems like a real class act, comes from a great family. His mom played for the Shock, head coach at Notre Dame women's basketball. His grandpa, of course, you know, there's a long family line. His grandpa played for the Lions back in the day. I really like it. And, you know, I think he'll be a good tandem, hopefully, with Cade Cunningham. I like the Duren pick. I like some of the things they did. You know, I don't think Kemba Walker will be there either. I think that's going to be a buyout. It's looking to be in that direction. But you guys said it best. I mean, it comes down to the coaching, and it comes down to the coaching. And I think Butch and I, you have had this discussion too. I'm always concerned because I think it's problematic with the ownership there too. I still worry about Tom Gores. So from the top on down, but it looked good, and hope for the best. But yeah, we'll just see what happens and what Dwayne Casey and his staff can do.
I really,
and you know what, I don't want to interrupt, but the big key in the particular dealing is that Sacramento lost Magruder to the Pistons last year there. They had to get somebody big, and that's where I think Keegan Murray was the more favorable person to pick up there than Ivory there, which basically, again, everyone knew who's in the bottom. That he, matter of fact, he's from my area, Southwest Detroit, where he lived and whatnot there. I know his mom very, very well from covering the Shock for so many years. And James Hunter, again, I know him very well until he passed away very suddenly there at a young age there. That was the big key, was this whole doggone situation, how it fell into place. Now, the trade with Portland, I think that was a very, very, very big situation, because they would move up from 46 to 36 and got Jalen Durant there in that particular situation. Durant has ties in Detroit as well there, as well as having ties in Pontiac. He does have ties in the east side of Detroit there. So it's a place, and talking to him on Friday, I should say, this is where he wanted to be there, because, again, he has some familiarity with some of the players that are here, including Cunningham. So you have three players right now who are very much so familiar with each other and common sense there. And also Durant has a great, great, good tie with Ben Wallace, okay? That is going to be key for his development right quick, which Ben Wallace, as you know, is hooked up with the Detroit Pistons a staff in so many ways.
And Butch hit the nail on the head. It goes a long ways when players want to come there.
Yep, and he says it often, too.
Yep.
I like this Duren selection, Butch, because it gives the Pistons something that they haven't had, toughness up front. And I like Ivy because, you know, you look at that backcourt with Cunningham and Bay, you know, Cunningham isn't the most flair or the biggest, you know, showboat. And I'm not saying that Ivy is, but Ivy just brings some of that flair that Cunningham doesn't. I can just see when you want to start a team, I think having a good backcourt is very important. I really think Bay, Cunningham, and Ivy has some potential. And like you both said, you know, players that want to be here. Butch has said that for years on the show, and I wholeheartedly agree. Butch,
another key, and we haven't said it yet there, but they used Lusa Garza last year and put him in the D-League and whatnot. So their front line of Garza, Magruder, and also particular there in Durant, that's going to be spooky for a young team that really right now got nothing to lose.
And gentlemen, final thought on the NBA. Of course, things will be heating up with free agency coming up, out, I should say, in July. And according to multiple sources outside of the Los Angeles Lakers, there are currently no known teams planning to pursue sign-and-trade deals for Brooklyn guards net Kyrie Irving. Irving's future, of course, with the Nets is in doubt, as well as Kevin Durant possibly wanting a trade request. But Irving has until Wednesday to make a decision on exercising his $36 million option for next season. Once he opts into the deal, he is no longer eligible for a sign and trade. Kyrie Irving to the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh my, Dave, what do you think of that?
You know, I just see it as problematic. I mean, that guy is that boy's dipstick don't touch the oil. I mean, I talked to, you know, people, and I was, you know, I have a lot of ties in Cleveland, and he just, you know, he's an interesting cat. And you know, I just see issues there. I see a lot of drama, and you know, he'll, when he's out there on the floor and he's focusing on basketball, he's fine. But you know, because he is a dynamic player, but I'll tell you what, he's a different cat. He just is, and you're getting all of that when you get him.
And Butch, going to the Lakers, again, this is potentially, but Darvin Ham, now the coach, I can't see him taking too much of Kyrie Irving's antics as coach of that squad.
Kyrie Irving can go to China. You know, really, right now, I think the guy needs some big-time mental health because, again, after he won the championship in Cleveland, he's never been satisfied ever since there. He has this ego that he's the big bad boogie bear, and he hasn't been, okay? He's either been injured, a troublemaker on the team. He was with Boston for a considerable period of time, what they thought a whole heck of a lot of, and he failed on them. He failed on New Jersey during COVID and everything else. Who would want him?
Not many teams. Yeah, not many teams, apparently, guys, and we'll just have to see what happens come July. Exactly. We're going to take a break here on the game. We come back, we will move on to the NHL as we have crowned a Stanley Cup champion for this season. We'll also talk about the Detroit Red Wings. They did have a big award awarded to them by Moritz Seider, winning the Calder Trophy, and the coaching search continues. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity, not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to SiouxTribeHealth.com.
Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
7:30 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis, and our special guest, the voice of Sioux High Blue Devil Athletics, Dave Watson. Gentlemen, let's get to the NHL. Before we get to the Stanley Cup Finals, the Detroit Red Wings rookie defenseman Moritz Seider won the 2022 Calder Cup last week. First Detroit Red Wing to win since the mid-1960s. The Calder Trophy is the NHL's Rookie of the Year award. Butch, we talked about it last week. If he didn't get it, it would be highway robbery. Well-earned award by Mr. Seider.
Very much so. And then some there. And it's good to see that defensemen are getting their just due, although every year the NFL, or the NHL, I should say. Boy, this is a nice game. they're doing their thing and basically giving it to the person who deserves it there. There's many others who, I guess, are in line for it, but Seider just showed that he belongs in the NHL there and then some there. Now, I think the situation relies for the Red Wings is getting some players to go with them. And that means those young players that they've been holding back, I'm quite sure we're going to see a surplus of them come into play there. And so that was a good thing for the Red Wings there. How they piggyback off of it as a team, we'll see upcoming.
And Dave, certainly Seider's rookie season, one of the best ever for the Detroit Red Wings. You had Fedorov, you had Yzerman never win Rookie of the Year, and Seider becomes that person this year. Your thoughts on his play, kind of showing the blueprint of Steve Yzerman's draft picks on the franchise a bit.
Well, and it's great to see because you gave him, you know, in a year that you fire the coach and you struggled towards the end, it really gives you hope. And, you know, I go back to, you know, this kid's a dynamic player. And I go back to that draft. If you remember, guys, a lot of people are like when they drafted him,
who's
this kid? Yeah. And, you know, that just tells you about Yzerman's scouting chops and the people he has around him. And you look at Tampa Bay, I mean, and, you know, he's still the blueprint of their team. Still, his fingerprints are still all over that. And he took a chance on guys and guys that were even on the radar. But, no, he's going to be a tremendous player for him. And, you know, they have a good young nucleus. And Butch is right. You're going to see more guys, I think, come up. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Lucas Raymond, I think, was on the all rookie team.
I believe so. Yeah.
You know, so there's another one too down the road. And I think Yeah, and I think it's great to see, and I think, you know, the decision making coming up, as we'll talk about the coaching search here, that I think we're getting very close. I think by the end of the week we'll have something here now that everything's done. But I just like the direction of what Steve is doing. And I said to you guys right off the hop earlier this year, I said I entrust in Stevie Y to get this done, you know, more than anybody of any of the teams in Detroit.
Looking at the coaching search, guys, Butch, I'll go to you first. Names that will not be as Detroit Red Wings head coach: Bruce Cassidy, John Tortorella, Peter DeBoer, Paul Maurice, who Ontario native, who was named head coach of Florida this past week, and Luke Richardson. He was named the head coach of Chicago. You still have open positions in Detroit, Boston, and Winnipeg. Now that Tampa has been eliminated and the season is over, if their potential coaching candidates for either of their assistant coach, Derek Lalonde or Jeff Halpern, of course, Sergei Fedorov's names been mentioned along with others, Ryan Worofsky of the Chicago Wolves, another potential name. Butch, it's been quiet, but now that the season is over and the draft will be here in a couple weeks, will we be hearing more about the Detroit Red Wings and their coaching search?
Not hearing it down there, which is a good thing here, because the less you hear, the better that the coaching prospect that Detroit bring in will have a better time in dealing with the players there. I never got into the hoopla who the public thought should be here. And we have one more person that's out to say, out the building, that he's going to sit out the rest of the year. I forgot his name. Oh, boy.
Barry Trotz.
Yeah, Barry Trotz.
Yep.
He's going to sit out the year here, okay? So I'm quite sure ESPN has already looked at him, and he has a job, or TSN, one of the two. And he's going to be looking at teams from another angle. But again, he will be making money. I just think the Red Wings is better off getting someone who has a notoriety in Detroit, who has a very good rapport with Steve Yzerman up close and personal, such as Cooper did with Yzerman, someone that you don't hear too much about. But again, the players has their respect of the particular individual they bring in, and if they don't, they won't be here, type of situation where right now you get the Red Wings are not far off. But again, their biggest problem is, per se there, is defense and coaching. If they get those particular ropes together there, that knot will be pretty much so complete where the Red Wings can compete for a playoff spot. I think that is what the fans are looking for in Detroit. If it's going to come to fruition, that I have no idea. But again, right now, I think that's what Stevie Y is looking for as well.
And Dave, I'd agree with the Butch that I think the Detroit Red Wings are not that far away. Certainly help on the defense and getting the right coach. And you know, certainly there's lots of them out there. One of my favorites, Sergei Fedorov, I think would be a good pick. However, the whole Russia thing and the war in Ukraine, I still think that might have something to do or somehow play into this. What are your thoughts as far as where the Rings are at with their coaching?
Well, Stevie's been very methodical about this, as he figured he would be. And I said to you in a text last week, Scott, I said, if they wanted, and this is just my opinion, if they wanted one of these veteran coaches that's out there, or guys that have got a job now, whether it was DeBoer or, you know, there was a lot of talk about Cassidy because he has ties to Detroit. And of course he got probably the best job out there than in the Vegas Knights job next to the New York Islanders job. It was probably one of the best jobs out there. The Lane Lambert or Lambert, he was right at the top of the list, but when the Islanders surprisingly fired Trotz, they got Lambert. But you know, you look at Barry Trotz, obviously there was not a job out there that he thought, well, that's my gig, and you know, I'm going to take the year off. But I think where the Red Wings are, if they wanted a veteran coach, if they were able to get, there would be one in place. And I said to you last week, I said, I think we're at a point now where they're waiting for one of the two Tampa assistants. If I was a betting man, Derek Lalonde's going to be the new head coach of the Red Wings. That's just my opinion.
Butch, you mentioned this last night on your show, and I am waiting to watch this with my sons because not the biggest hockey fans, but I always tell them about kind of my heyday in hockey with the Wings and the Colorado Avalanche. We'll talk about in a moment currently who won the Stanley Cup. ESPN yesterday had the Unrivaled documentary, which showed the feud between the Colorado Avalanche and the Detroit Red Wings from the late 1990s into early 2000s. The show centered on, of course, Claude Lemieux, Darren McCarty, and the hit on Chris Draper, as well as the catastrophic limousine crash that changed the life of Vladimir Konstantinov. Now, Bush, you not only watched it once, but twice. You got an early sneak peek at it last week. Just tell us your thoughts on that documentary. From what I heard last night, you thought it was very well done.
It was very well done because it went through the particular history of the two particular teams, Colorado as well as the Detroit. And the thing about it was that the inside things that you didn't get, such as Darren McCarty staying by the side of the particular individual who got in the car wreck on that particular hit from Claude Lemieux, it gave you a heck of a lot of information that you didn't really get from the media. At that particular time, I was not in Detroit. I was in Detroit. I was at Wayne State University working on my master's and stuff there. And I didn't come into fourth play until around about 99, you know, when I started regularly dealing with the Red Wings on a regular basis there, you know, visiting and talking to the players and whatnot there. So I got a heck of a lot of information there. The Konstantinov information there, it's really, really was insightful there. And I think one of the things that people don't realize, and I'm going to bring it to the table right now, is that the laws in Michigan as far as car insurance is concerned there, it's had a huge effect on Konstantinov and him getting the everyday help and care that he needs right now, because that has changed where, I think, to make it short and sweet, if you have insurance, per se, health insurance or whatnot there, your insurance company will kind of buy it off of that if you buy it off of that. And again, in this particular case of Konstantinov, which he was riding in a limousine with someone who didn't have no license, had no business behind the wheel, and, you know, just leisurely going home because they were tired, it's a bad situation. Because I get it twofold, because that's what I'm hearing about and dealing with right now locally here, that the news has gathered information about it. It's the laws in Michigan and it's car insurance per se there, because later on they're saying that Konstantinov will not be able to get the help and the services that he needs, and which he's come a long way. When I first saw him in second championship, which I saw basically, matter of fact, I was there. I forgot. I was able to cover that there. He couldn't say a word, but now the guy can speak pretty good. He's very good in using his hands and his upper body, a whole heck of a lot of well. And what I saw on television, which what I saw in person, which is he needed a whole heck of a lot of help, you know, to get up, to stand up, and to stay there. But it was a very, very well done. I mean, they left no stone unturned when they did that. And ESPN should be proud of themselves in that particular dealing with that feature. It's 90 minutes long, but if you watch it on ESPN, it's going to be 2 hours. But it's worth every minute to see every piece of it.
And Dave, I haven't watched it yet. You've watched about half of it. And, you know, we were in our 20s watching that rivalry. Certainly one of, if not the best, at least for the Detroit Red Wings in hockey. You don't quite have that now. They're in different conferences. They only play each other right a couple times. But, you know, trying to explain that to my boys who are, you know, casual hockey fans, I want to sit down and have them see just kind of what hockey was like, almost 15 or more than 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. Just it was a different game, and certainly it was quite the rivalry.
Yeah, I don't think you'll have another rivalry like that. That and the I compare that to that one and the Red Sox Yankees of the early 2000s when Pedro Martinez threw Don Zimmer down.
Yes.
But I don't think there'll be another one like it. I mean, between those, you know, and those two, you know, instances, and they were made for television. And I haven't seen all of it yet, but it's an excellent documentary. And I recorded it right away because I like E60 anyway. There's a lot of things about ESPN I don't like, but E60 and what Jeremy Schapp and the group, I think Lisa Salters, a tremendous reporter, of course, the Monday Night Football reporter, they do a tremendous job. And I knew it was going to be well done. And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it. But that was fun. That rivalry there was pure hate. I mean, and it spanned, you know, you can go all the way even after 98. And then a few years later, I think the capper was when the Red Wings beat him and chased Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
And Patrick was, you know, never the same. Remember, chased him in that game seven.
7-0 or something.
7-0. Yeah. And then that was the capper, I think, of that whole rivalry. But no, it was fun, and there'll never be something like it. And you know, I'm really enjoying this documentary.
Speaking of the Colorado Avalanche, Butch, they win their first Stanley Cup since 2001 last night in Tampa, knocking off the Lightning 2-1 in Game 6, winning that series 4-2. Butch, you know I've been high on the Avalanche for quite a few seasons. They got it done this year. They're your Stanley Cup champs. Your thoughts?
There's a thing about there. They played Tampa Bay's game the last two or three games there. They played good defense there. Wasn't about offense, which they were highly charged the whole season long there. But their defense, they showed out, and they did a whole heck of a good job there.
And Dave, I always mention this with Dave McKeg. I don't think this Colorado team's a one-trick pony. They're not going to win one and then fade away. You know, you look at what Joe Sakic has done building this team. Granted, offensively is their strength, but they played good defense last night to earn the victory in the Stanley Cup. Your thoughts on Colorado and Tampa in the finals?
It was a fun final, and you know, Tampa, you know, threw everything they had at them, you know, and I thought the one thing that keep Tampa in it is the fact that Colorado's goaltending sometimes could be a little iffy, and other than that, you know, the Avalanche are just solid, and Cale Makar, I mean, he's the best defenseman in the game, but perhaps one of the best player in the game. And it's interesting, guys, I saw him play 3 years ago at the University of Massachusetts when he won the Hobie Baker Award. I always go to the College Hockey Frozen Four. And I knew he was a great player then, but I said to my buddy Mike Spooler, who goes with me to the Frozen Four every year, I said, I never would have thought he would be this good now.
No, fast.
And you know, and Nate MacKinnon is, I think, over the years has been underrated because, you know, he's not on national television as much. But and then, you know, they just have all kinds of studs. Getting Kadri over, that was big, and him being able to come back. You're right. This is not a one-hit wonder. They're going to be tough for a long time. And you know what? I think Tampa will be back as well.
Jim, we're going to take our final break of the night. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL and some other sports before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:47 on the game. News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis, and our special guest, the voice of Suhai Blue Devil Athletics, Dave Watson. Speaking of Watson, and we'll go to Dave first on this one, the Cleveland Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson, no relation, I believe, Dave, to you, has his disciplinary hearing scheduled for tomorrow. This is a hearing before the NFL and NFL Players Association, a jointly appointed disciplinary officer, Sue L. Robinson, is scheduled to begin on Tuesday. Robinson will list as the NFL expects to push for a lengthy suspension for Watson, while the NFLPA defends the Cleveland Browns quarterback, who has been accused of harassing, assaulting, or touching 26 women during massage appointments when he was with the Houston Texans. The NFL is likely to base its proposed discipline on only a fraction of those women, according to sources. At one point, Watson was facing 24 civil lawsuits. He's agreed to settle 20 of those suits. Dave, I'm going to you first because I know you're a big Cleveland Browns fan. Certainly, you knew getting Watson, this was a potential. What do you think?
Well, you know, we're going to find out here real soon how this is going to go down. And, you know, yeah, I keep on hearing that the suspension is going to be, the other day I heard, indefinite. And that's the rumor. And they're going up to a year. I think why it could be, and this is just my opinion, why it could be indefinite, they got wiggle room there because the union is getting ready for a fight. I mean, an all-out fight. And they're going to use, I don't know if this is even, I don't know how much this is going to work, you know, for them, but they're going to use the Robert Kraft thing with the massage parlor, you know, and he was fine. But he wasn't, I don't believe, he wasn't charged there, and he used the Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones incidents, and they're ready for a brawl from what they're saying. They're ready for all a fight. And I think perhaps what they're thinking is we can go indefinite. Now we have wiggle room and say, okay, we'll go to a year. Where if they started a year and then it comes down to 10, let's say they chop it down to, I don't know, 12, 10 games. And then all of a sudden a few more women come out. And we're at 30. Again, he had, 60, over 66, I think, masseuses that he went to. Now, a lot of them have come out and supported him.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think that gives the NFL a little wiggle room. You know, if you go indefinite, let's see if they do. And then and if it's dumbed down on appeal, then okay, a year. And then they could just stop at a year. That's just my opinion. I think, obviously, you know, he's got issues. He's, you know, it's funny how he said no, but I think his lawyers got to, I didn't do anything wrong. I think his lawyers got to him and said, listen, we need to settle, you know, as many as we can. I think that was big on his, for him, that they settled 20 of them, but you still got the four out there. You know, my thing is I'm going for it as a Browns fan that it's going to be Jacoby Brissett and maybe Jimmy Garoppolo if they do make a trade. And then Deshaun, hopefully they have him for 23. I didn't like the trade. I thought it was a big gamble, but I understand what they were thinking because I'm not a big Baker Mayfield guy either. And that situation is going to get cleared up. It looks like Seattle's coming to the table. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But we're going to get some clarity on old Deshaun.
Butch, you mentioned it on your show last night, your thoughts on Deshaun Watson facing the jury, so to speak.
You know, it'd be interesting to find out what Matt Darien say about this particular situation. Your buddy, your pal, Mr. Watson. Yeah. But he's not on the show today here, but we can make some arrangements. I tell you right now, Watson is going to jail. I know, well, four of them says right now, you didn't pay me enough money. And the other 20 said, well, you know, you didn't pay me enough money, so I'll take it now. The other 66 said, or 44, or whatever amount that is left out there, they're satisfied with what they got. Either way, it says that this guy's guilty of whatever the heck happened here, okay? And I don't expect him to be playing with the Cleveland Browns this year at all. He'll be spending time to either contemplate on what he did or else these other four, if he doesn't look halfway decent to the court, he will go to jail. But, you know, we'll see what happened. But again, right now, we will not see Deshaun Watson in the lineup for the Cleveland Browns this year. Another waste of time and effort from the Cleveland Browns staff that basically every single year they do something stupid.
And gentlemen, we will see next year. The USFL was announced over the weekend by Fox CEO Eric Shanks that the league will be back for the 2023 season. The Philadelphia Stars and Birmingham Stallions will meet for the USFL championship this weekend in Canton. Shanks said the USFL will feature 8 teams next year and will play in multiple cities. They're hoping to expand in 2024. And you'll also have the return of the XFL coming next spring. Dave, you like the Vince McMahon thing?
Wow.
I think I just blew a vocal cord, but USFL, I got to admit, yeah, it was. You know, it's okay. Yeah. It's not the worst. Your thoughts on the USFL?
I watched a little of it, and you're right. It's just like, you know, whatever. And I think the XFL will be the same, you know. And I remember as a kid, I liked it back in the mid-'80s, you know.
Oh, 85. Yeah. Michigan Panthers.
My favorite was the LA Express. That's the team I liked. But, you know, and they were making a big move there. You know, they were getting back then. Donald Trump was owner of the New Jersey Generals.
Oh,
and they got Herschel Walker to come.
And,
but that's not going to be the situation now.
No.
Because, you know, you don't have the money in the backing. You know, I'm just kind of like, you know, we've seen these football leagues all come up, hey, and they're all the same, and they kind of mess around for a little, it's cutesy and all that, and then they die off, and it's probably going to be the fate of the USFL, like the rest of them.
What's your thoughts on the USFL? We've talked a bit about, you know, playing in empty stadiums when not including the Birmingham team, but it's going to be back next year along with the XFL. I'm not going to say it like Vinnie Mac there because I won't have a voice for the rest of the show. Your thoughts?
I think that USFL was very good, okay? I think the talent was very good. It was excellent. The way they put the games online, it was very good. The officiating was very good. I think it will be better next year when they actually allow some of the teams that they're supposed to be representing play in some of those cities that they represent there. That will up to any other game as well, because they're going to have some pretty doggone good players. A lot of them are going to go to the NFL, you like it or not, as free agents to go to some of these camps. So don't be surprised if you don't see none of those this year. One thing I liked about the USFL is that they stayed current in what they did there. They had two major networks back them up very good.
Yeah.
And the talent on the particular games, and all of them were very interesting indeed there. They were close games. You didn't see nobody fluffing or snuffing off the game as a lot of game there. But it was pretty dumb. I enjoyed it. I think next year, hopefully, it will be better. I would love to see the crowd to hang out at Canton next week and see if it really spoons some success there, because if it's not a good sold-out stadium or that place ain't majority filled, then they're going to have to think about how they deal with it public relations-wise.
Gentlemen, let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. I will start to save time. No thumbs down. 2 thumbs up. Thumbs up to the Detroit Pistons in the 2022 NBA draft. Again, we'll have to see how things play out, but it certainly looks like they addressed some needs, and possibly this season being a very exciting season for Detroit Pistons fans. Stress possibly. And thumbs up to the Seattle Mariners fan that ordered a pizza for one of the players that got ejected yesterday, Jesse Winkler. Sophie Dill is a Mariners fan living in Arkansas. She ordered a whole pepperoni pizza for Winkler and had it delivered to him at Angel Stadium after the melee ended. The DoorDash driver who picked up the pizza had all sorts of trouble getting in. Winkler received the pizza and reached out to Dill on social media to thank her for her gesture. And what once more, the DoorDash driver that did the delivery has received tons of tips and donations for it. That's capitalism at its best, baby. And I love it. Dave Watson, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
I just have two thumbs up as well, and I'll start with the Ole Miss Rebels baseball team.
Yes,
winning the World Series in college baseball. What a year. You had several teams that were not even national seeds. They were one of them. They didn't play a home game in the playoffs, and them and Oklahoma both, and they were able to win that series 2-0. So congrats to Ole Miss. It was a fun college baseball World Series. The Irish Notre Dame made the field this year, so thumbs up there. And thumbs up to the National Hockey League and their TV broadcasting this year. I loved it. TNT and ESPN did a tremendous job. I texted you, Scott. I didn't realize how good Sean McDonough is at hockey play-by-play. And him and Ray Ferraro together. And then I really like Emily Kaplan. She asked really interesting and tough questions. And Messier and Chelios. I like ESPN's coverage. TNT did a tremendous job. So kudos to the NHL on that.
Well said. Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Tom McDonough. Another Canadian! Yay! Okay. My thumbs up. I don't have no thumbs down there because of the holiday weekend, so I'm going to be nice about this whole situation. But thumbs up to a guy that basically passed away today here, Marlon Magician Briscoe, a two-time Super Bowl winner there. He's the first black quarterback to start in the Super Bowl era there. He died at the age of 76 of pneumonia in California there. He was a quarterback who played at Omaha University, got drafted by the Denver Broncos. Go to Denver Broncos, the Golden Blazers there. If you can't play me a quarterback, you might as well release me. The Denver Broncos kept him, and look what doors that this guy opened up for a lot of quarterbacks, especially minorities there, especially a guy named James Harris, who played for Buffalo Bills and also the Los Angeles Rams. So I tipped my hat off to him. I got to meet Marlon Briscoe later on in life there. He's a very respectable human being. It was sad to hear him pass away today there, but again, someone who opened the door for many, many players in the NFL. It changed the stigma around. There's a lot of good minority quarterbacks out there to play and do very, very well indeed.
Well said, Butch. Dave, appreciate you joining us again on the game. We'll certainly try to get you on during the summer again, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
And Butch, enjoy your fourth as well as you, Dave, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of the game, sir.
Alrighty now.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of the game. I hope everyone has a great holiday weekend, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of the game here on News Talk 1400.
Thanks for listening to the game on News Talk 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.